you for this day. And Father, may we bless you and perform your will in our lives today, tomorrow, and every day. So we thank you for that. And Father, we understand as we hear your word and as we apply your word to our lives, we're able to please you in all that we do. Hallelujah. So Father, now I pray that every person on the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word, have an open heart to receive your word. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. And I thank you for that, Father. And I also thank you, Father, for the call and anointing that you placed upon me to minister your word. And I'm resting in that right now. Speak through my mouth, Lord. Speak through my mouth. Let my thoughts be your thoughts this morning. Hallelujah. That your people will be blessed and that they might hear from you today. And Father, we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to read to you again. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. All of God's word is powerful. All of God's word is true and truth. Amen. Yes, it is. Praise God. But what I'm about to read to you, I want you to grab a hold of it, get it on the inside of you, because it's important to Jesus that you get this. It's important to you that you get this. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 4, once again, I'm going to begin reading it, verse 16. It says, so he being Jesus, came to Nazareth. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible here. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Hallelujah. He found the place where it was written. Now, look at verse 18. And this is what he read from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, what Jesus is doing here, he's reading the word of God, but he's testifying about himself. He's talking about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Glory to God. Jesus was anointed. He was appointed. He was empowered. Glory to God. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Glory to God. The poor have hope, don't they?
Amen.
Yes, praise God. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? Maybe you're brokenhearted right now. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay that way. Your heart don't have to continually be broken. Jesus was sent. He said it himself, I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. He went on to say to proclaim liberty to the captive. We've been singing this morning about how he set us free and how Jesus made us free. Amen. At one time we were captives, but now we were captives of the devil, but now we are free in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are free in Christ Jesus. You out there and those of you right here in this sanctuary today, why don't you testify and say, Jesus has set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus set us free. He set us free. Praise God. Hallelujah. To proclaim liberty to the captive. Amen. If you have liberty, you're not a captive anymore. Amen. If you've been liberated, you are not a captive anymore. Hallelujah. And I think this is where I want to begin. He went on to say, and recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. Get that in your spirit. Recovery of sight to the blind. Now, we know if you read in the Gospels about the ministry of Jesus, one of the things that Jesus did many, he performed many miracles, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Amen. Matter of fact, the Apostle John says, the books couldn't hold what all Jesus did and everything. So we don't know everything he did. Amen. But we know that he performed many, many miracles. And one of those miracles that he performed was giving sight to the blind. Giving sight to the blind. Amen. Remember the guy was blind and Jesus healed him. He received his sight. Jesus put some spit and made mud out of it and rubbed his eyes. Now, see, here's the thing about that. Now, if Jesus done that to y'all, some of y'all got mad. And you would still been walking around blind. You'd have still been blind. I want to see, but I ain't, he ain't putting no spit on me now. I want to see, but I don't want to see that bad. You ain't putting no spit on me. But no, Jesus made a little mud and put it on his eye, and the guy went to he told him to go wash, and he went to the pool of Siloam, and he washed, and guess what? He received his sight. He received his sight. Amen. And so there are other miracles that Jesus did as far as healing the blind. And we won't try to go through all of them, but the point I want to make to you is when Jesus was on this earth, he healed the sick, he healed the blind. In other words, he gave sight to the blind. But how many of you know there's more than one kind of blindness? There's more than one kind of blindness. Now, Jesus healed the physical blind. Yes, he did. He healed the physically blind. And I really do believe that when Jesus was reading about himself from the book of Isaiah, he said, I came to give sight to the blind. I believe that included physical sight as well, but that's not all he meant. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, hallelujah. Let me tell you something, there not only is there physical blindness, but there is also spiritual blindness. And can I tell you something else? Spiritual blindness is more dangerous than physical blindness. Let me say that again. Spiritual blindness is more dangerous than physical blindness. Hallelujah. If you're born again and you're physically blind and you happen, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, I don't think that was Gabriel that blew his trumpet. We still here, so I'll continue preaching. Amen. Glory to God. But listen, if a person happens to be physically blind and if they happen to die in that state, but because they're born again, guess what? They're going to be with the Lord. Amen. And they'll never be blind again. They'll never be blind again. So you can actually die as a child of God, physically blind, and you will receive your sight again. But if you die spiritually blind, you're in a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I do need to qualify that just a moment. There's two types of spiritual blindness. Well, matter of fact, one I wouldn't even classify as a blindness. You can be spiritually blind, but you can also be spiritually dead. You can be spiritually dead. And I used to be spiritually dead one time in my life, and you have that same testimony. All of us have that same testimony. At one time in our lives, we were spiritually dead. We were completely separated from God. Amen? We were completely separated from God. But even the spiritually dead have to receive their sight in order to even be born again. So if you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at, I'll begin reading at verse 1. Let me check on my time here. All right. I'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, this is the Apostle Paul writing here. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, how many of you know Paul was a preacher? Amen. Yeah, he was a great preacher. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, I want to take just a little slight detour here. I'm going to get back on the road. I'm just going to kind of do a horseshoe. I get back on the road, promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read verse 1 again. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. I just want to say this, and then we're going to move on. I find it very interesting the way the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, as we have received mercy. You know, too many times us ministers can get puffed up. I'll say amen. Amen. Sometimes ministers can get puffed up. And sometimes you can act like you're doing God a favor or you're doing the people a favor, because you're ministering to them, because you're preaching the word of God to them. Let me tell you something. We're only preaching because of the mercy of God. You hear me? I'm preaching because I was chosen by him. And if he didn't choose me, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. And if I didn't know he chose me, I wouldn't. If I had any doubt about it, I'm not going to stand here in your presence. I got to know that I'm doing what I'm doing because he sent me, or he called me, or it's because of his mercy, because of his grace. Can I get another amen on that? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. So what am I getting at? I don't have any room to get puffed up. There's no space for me to feel like, let me say it this way, to feel like I'm all that just because I'm a preacher. If anybody need to be humble, it need to be men and women of God in the ministry, because we're the one that's supposed to be setting the example for everyone else to follow. Can I get another amen? All right, let me get back on the road where we were going. All right. Amen. Verse 1 again. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But listen to what he says in verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. Now he's talking about the ministers, not walking in craftiness, nor what? Handling the word of God deceitfully. Wow. I don't want to have to stand before God one day and he look at me and say, what in the world have you been preaching? No. Amen. I don't want to have to hear that. But he said, and when the word of God is handled deceitfully, that is intentional. Nobody's perfect. You understand that? We all make mistakes. We all are continually learning. Can I? Amen. Not just preachers, all of us. We all are continually learning. And as you learn, you find out, oh, okay, I was a little off right here. So you make that adjustment. That's called growing. That's called maturing. Nobody is perfect. But what I'm talking about here is intentionally deceiving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm reading this because it's taking me somewhere. Verse 2 again, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But now look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The original King James Version say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are perishing. Let me read verse 4. Whose minds, follow me on this, whose minds the God of this age or the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. You know, some folks don't like to talk about the devil. Okay? They don't like to talk about the devil. Matter of fact, some folk don't even believe he exists. I'm talking about church-going folk. Some. Not all. But there's some, they don't even believe that the devil exists. And the devil likes that just fine. Because if you don't believe he exists, that gives him freedom to do his thing, because he knows he's not going to get any type of resistance out of you, because you don't believe he exists anyway. So why are you going to try to resist him? So, and I've heard people say, well, you know, we shouldn't talk about the devil so much, shouldn't talk about what the devil's doing, but we should talk about what God is doing. I agree with that, but on the other hand, we cannot ignore him. The Bible doesn't ignore him. Jesus didn't ignore him. Jesus talked about him a lot. And as we see right here, the Apostle Paul is talking about him, referring to him as the God of this world or the God of this age. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Hallelujah. Look again at verse 4 in your Bible. If you will notice, you will notice that the three-letter word God in verse 4 begins with a little g. Little g. Little g. The very fact that it begins with a little g lets you know he is not talking about God Almighty. He's talking about the God of this world, or the God of this world system, or the God of this age that's very, very busy. See, if we ignore him, he get away with stuff. But when we call him on the carpet and acknowledge, I know what you're up to, and I command you to stop it, desist in the name of Jesus. See, we need to call the devil on the carpet. Are you still here? Because he's getting away with too much. And so the Apostle Paul said, identified him as the God of this world, the God of this age. And he says this God, small g, is the one that's responsible for blinding the minds of folks so that they cannot see the goodness of God. Listen to me good. And he's good at what he do. That's the reason we got to know that greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that is in the world. Amen. He'll tell you things like, if you're a preacher, and I'm sure every preacher, if they've been a pastor, if they've been pastoring or preaching for any length of time, have had to deal with this. For example, he'll tell you, you don't want to preach on this. You know, you don't want to preach on adultery. You don't want to preach on perversion, sexual perversion. You don't want to preach on any of that because you know such and such go to your church and so forth, and they, you know, they one of your biggest givers. Now, you get them upset, they're going to leave and they're going to take their money with them. Well, my question have to be, are you preaching for their money or are you preaching because God called you? Amen. My wife knows and my family knows and many of you know, when we started this ministry, we started with absolutely nothing. We didn't start this ministry with no big-time givers. We started with absolutely nothing but the call of God on our lives. We knew that we had the call of God on our lives, and we trusted God to take up the slack. We trusted God to meet the need. Amen? Amen. Y'all still out there? Amen. Hallelujah. We trusted God to meet the need. You better believe Satan is very, very active. And he's trying to stop the preaching of the word of God. He's trying to get you to water it down. Amen. Let me read verse 4 again. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let me tell you something. Jesus says, I've come to give sight to the blind. I've come to give sight for to everyone that the God of this world has blinded their minds. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If many people knew better, they would do better. If we could really see and understand what eternal life is all about, what walking with the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, we would not allow anything or anyone to get in our way. It's like treasure buried in a field. We got to go find it. We got to go get it. This is precious. Hallelujah. And this is, you know, and you've heard me say this too. And I thank God for live streaming. Amen. I thank God for that technology. But I'm looking forward to when all of our people are back in church and all this stuff is behind us. And this is the reason. Live streaming is good, but if you ain't careful, live streaming can make you lazy. Uh-huh. Why don't you help me out? Say that again, Pastor. Come on, say it loud. Yeah, thank you. I believe I will. Thank you. I believe I will. Live streaming is good. I thank God for it. It's been very helpful through this thing. It has been. But we got to be careful, though, that we don't start relying on it, because it can make us lazy. That's spelled L-A-Z-Y. Lazy. Now, let me qualify what I'm saying. I think live streaming and all that is very good, and it's excellent for those who cannot get out. They're shut in or whatever, and they cannot get out to go to church, and that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing. But man, you know, once this thing is behind us and you ain't sick, ain't nothing wrong with you. Don't say, I believe I'm going to kick back this morning and watch some live streaming. No. What the Bible says is, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, glory to God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it goes on to say, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day you talking about? The coming of the Lord. The day of the coming of the Lord. Jesus want his people together. Jesus want his family tight. Jesus want his family walking in love, loving one another, knowing one another. Wouldn't it be terrible when Jesus comes back? He got some children around the world, but they don't know each other, except they're possibly their immediate family members, because everybody's been live streaming, so you know, they don't get to fellowship together. You know, they don't get to do things together, and so they don't really know each other. Let me tell you something. It's important that we fellowship together. Amen. I know we spacing out now, and that's, we're going to do that for a little while. But there comes a time, man, when we got to get together. I tell you what, we have the blood of Jesus flowing on the inside of us. We are family, and he wants us to act like family. And guess what? When Jesus comes back, when he bursts through those clouds, guess what? You know, you want to know who he's coming for? He's coming for his family. He's coming for his family. You know, on the way up to meet Jesus, we don't want to have to look over to our right and say, who are you? To the left, who are you? I've been seeing you at a distance. I didn't know you were saved. But let me tell you something. Understand that the devil wants to blind our minds. Listen, even as Christians, he wants to blind us to certain things concerning God, certain things concerning the Word of God, that we cannot see Jesus. Let me read something to you. Glory to God. Y'all still with me for a few more minutes? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me see where I want to pick this. I'll start reading it, verse 6, I guess, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, and that's the devil and his bunch, who are coming to nothing. Whoa, y'all see that? I said, did y'all see that? Well, I could preach it there a while, but I won't. I keep reading. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. That's the devil and his bunch. For had they known, guess what? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. If the devil knew, if Satan knew that Jesus would be raised from the dead, he would not have crucified him. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in victory over the devil, didn't he? He rose in victory over the devil. The devil was defeated from that point on. But now look at verse 9. But as it is written, you ready for this? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Why, Pastor? Because they're blind. They can't see it. They can't see it. They can't see it. And I know, and I've heard it said, well, you know, ear has not heard, eye has not seen, ear has not heard all the wonderful things that God has prepared for those of us that love him. But they didn't read the whole thing. They stopped right there. The blind folk can't see it. But listen to what it says in verse 10. Everybody say, but God. But God has revealed them to who? Uh-oh. Why? Because we're not blind anymore. Our eyes are being opened. Jesus has come and restored sight to me. Spiritual sight. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You can know and understand deeper things of God. Now, some folks have tried to go deep, but they were digging in the wrong hole. Okay? They were going in the wrong direction. And I've met some of those Christians over the years. I've been saved a while. And I've met some of those, well, you know, we're going deeper, man. We've gone deeper. We've got greater revelation. But the only problem with some of their revelation does not line up with the Bible. But they're calling themselves deep. And some have gone so far that they thought they were so deep that they went beyond the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. That is too deep. That's too deep. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I could read on, but I'm getting ready to bring this to a close. This is what I want you to understand. Jesus came to give sight to the blind so that we can see him for who he is. We can see what he has done for us. Hallelujah. If you are walking, let's say if you're walking down this aisle and someone is standing in your way, what do? You either say, excuse me, or you go around. Why? Because you see them there. You don't just run into them or knock them over. You see them there. And let me tell you something. We need to see who he is. We need to know what he has done for us. And we need to know what Satan's up to. Because he, listen to me, he will reveal that to you as well. So to speak, figuratively speaking, if the bridge is out down the road, God will let you know. In other words, if the devil's up to something, he'll let you in on it. You need to make a detour, son. You need to make a detour, daughter. Because you walk with him. And you are able to see. You are able to perceive. Christians are not supposed to walk blindly. We do walk by faith. Yes, we do. But I want to tell you something. It thrills me every time I get a greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that lines up with this Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it's got to line up with the Bible.
Because,
see, there are other spirits out there, too. You got to know that. Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm closing with this one. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm closing here. Ephesians chapter 1. We've done this before. We're going to do it again today. In Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read it, and then we're going to pray it. Verse 15. Therefore I, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Amen. And it's very interesting what he prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. The eyes, everybody say eyes.
Eyes.
The eyes. In other words, you see with your eyes, don't you? Yeah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, you're not blind. You know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want you, those of you that are watching By way of live streaming, I want you to join in with us as well as those of you that are here in this sanctuary. I hope, listen to me, I hope this is the cry of your heart, that I may know him better, that I may know him better, be able to say like the Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. One thing that the Apostle Paul wanted to do was know him better, have a better insight, be able to see him more clearly. Are you still here? Pray this prayer with me, and I want you to make it personal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matter of fact, you can repeat it after me. This, say, Heavenly Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards me who believe according to your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Oh, get this, verse 21. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And say this, say, Heavenly Father, you put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Listen. The eyes need to be able to see. The eyes must be able to see. When you have spiritual insight into who God is, you become one powerful believer. And you become trouble for the devil. The devil beat up on people who don't know who they are and can't see the truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you now. We thank you for your word. Your word. Your word,